the reason, have a wonderful day, wonderful Shabbos. The reason I wanted to do Kuf Yud Zayin is that, first of all, it's mamish right in the zip code of where we were here in Shulchan Aruch, but also it comes up a lot, halacha l'maisa, and it's also only one sin, so I think we can knock it off in a day. So let's try it. This is the siman about the Isser Schora with Ma'achalos Asuros, that a lot of people aren't aware that such an Isser even exists. They don't even know that there's such a thing called an Isser Schora with Ma'achalos Asuros. So I have a friend, actually a very close friend, whose family, two close friends, that both have family members that are connected to this, that the family owns one of the most famous treif steakhouses in New York. They don't eat there, you know, they send the kids to yeshiva or whatever, but they own one of the most famous treif steakhouses in New York. That is a major issue, right? That is not, that obviously means someone along the way didn't learn Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, right? So what do you do with that? What do you do if you're Yoresh, that restaurant? Do you have to sell it immediately? How do you handle that situation? Because one of my friends who's involved is the wife whose family it is a Balas Tshuva. So no one in the family was from. She's the first from one in the family. But it's like a family business. So like, well, how do you handle the situation? So the siman is about Scharab Machalas Asuras. And this is to do business with Dvarim Asuras. We're going to find throughout the siman that there are four exceptions to this Isser. What's the most famous exception to this Isser of Scharab Machalas Asuras? Anyone all familiar with this again?
You mentioned earlier in the year you should be an expert when you heard.
So this domino, somehow you came across it, you weren't looking for it, you weren't planning on it, it just landed in your lap. You were looking for kosher things. So this domino, that's when you're not trying for it, it just came your way. You put out nets to catch kosher fish, you wanted to catch a bunch of tunas, and one fish, it's not a tuna, made its way into your net. You accidentally caught a non-kosher fish. Or some of the animals you shechted, which happens in every shachtai, some of the animals you shecht, guess what, are going to be treifas. Some percentage of all animals are going to be treifas. What does Empire do when they're shechting 120,000 chickens a day? Did I make up that number? I don't think so. What do they do when they're shechting some crazy number of chickens a day when they're going to be tens of thousands of treifas? They just throw them in the garbage? No. So it's nisnamin, though. They weren't looking for treifas. Or chelev. Every animal has chelev. So can you get nothing out of that chelev? So that is the exception of Nizdamim. There's going to be an exception. Issur Rabbanu might be an exception. Things that are not normally eaten might be an exception. Chaylev is actually its own separate exception that may or may not relate to Nizdamim. So, okay, these are the four exceptions. So again, Nizdamim, Chaylev, Issur Rabbanan, and we're going to see in the Shach that things that are not normally eaten, like what's not normally eaten? Pig skins. You know, they may there may be a market for it to make footballs. I don't think they actually make footballs out of pigskins, but that you know, leather belts. So there may be a market for the skins of the animals. So let's first start with the Isser, and then we'll work our way toward understanding all these exceptions and Allah l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol davar she'asur min haTorah, af al pi shemutar b'hana'a, even though it's hatar hana'a." We're not talking about an Isser hana'a over here. Things that are mutar b'hana'a. It's not pasuk b'chalav. If it's something that's designated as a meichel, so then you're not allowed to do schora with it. So the Shach says, Dovram Yuchal Meichel means to accept susum ugamalim, right? Who, no one eats. He says, Afuke susum chamorim ugamalim, the stam and the malacha, right? Those are animals that typically you do malacha with. Or even animals that are normally eaten, but you're raising them to use its fats or leather for the fats to be madlik, or the leather to make nice clothing out of. However, by chazir the shachazan say everything is asur mishamaisa shahaya. Some sort of incident when they were raising chazir, gave an animal for a carbon, chazir for a carbon talmid. So that's specifically a separate issue, a special gzeira of a chazir. Rav Moshe is a truv in Yardecha, based in Laman Zayin, that you can sell dog food because it's not designated the meichel. Right, that's this shot. So it's not designated the meichel, you're allowed to do schorer with. Dog food is designated the meichel behema, not the meichel adam. He's working with the assumption that it's not edible, the meichel adam. Some people feed their dogs such high quality food, it's possible, I don't know, I never tried it, but it's possible that some of the dog food is even right in the Meichel Adam, but who knows? So is this Nisa Daraisa or Nisa Drabanan? What's the makor of the Yisra? So there is a Machlokas Rishonim. Tosim Pesachim and Daf Chav Gimel says that it's a Daraisa, and Shuvas HaRashba writes that it's Nisa Drabanan Gzeir Hashem Yochanayan. So the Rashba holds that it's only Asur because of a concern you might come to eat from it. The Shach over here in Sifchat and Beis says like the Rashba, Asur Lasus Boschorus, says the Shach, Hatam Shem Yavol Lechol Mayan, right, just according to the Rashba, that you might come to eat from it. So the Taz in Sifkat Aleph brings a machlokas, right? He doesn't just go with the Rashba straight, right? He brings a machlokas, right? He starts out with Beis Yosef Hashem Rashba Tam Gzeir Hashem Yovel Echol Meyam Yotzeh Chamar V'Gal Moshad V'Gal V'Malacha, and then he says V'Tamati, and then ultimately he quotes the Shita of Tosfos. But this Taz has two important points, and one of them we're going to jump off for a little bit from the, you know, Guf HaSimin, because this is one of the most famous Tazes in all of Shulchan Aruch. In fact, when you say the two words Hataz Hayadua, this is Hataz Hayadua. It's actually, it appears in three places in Shulchan Aruch, but those are the magic words, Hataz Hayadua. So let's take a look at what the Taz has to say. So in the first half, he quotes the Beis Yosef in the name of the Rashba, that it's only Drabanan, the Yisrishkar is only Drabanan, and then brings the Gemara in Pesachim Chav Gimel, which implies that it's Daraisa, because it says in the Gemara there that nizdamin lo minim tmeim, it's mutar l'mochor liyakum. That if you have minim tmeim, if it's nizdamin lo minim tmeim, you're allowed to sell them. And that's because it says lochem in the pasuk, and the Gemara asks, afil l'chadchil nami, and the Gemara gives some sort of answer. So Tosus points out that if we're bringing psukim, it must be that it's nidaraisa. I mean, the whole discussion in the Gemara is about this iser. It engages in psukim, so it must be that it's a nidaraisa. So the Taz explains that since we find a Kula and a Chumra in the Torah, it must be that Masrana Kasav L'Chacham, I mean, he comes to like this compromise, that what do you do when something sounds like a Daraisa but also sounds like a Drabana? It's a little bit of a Daraisa and a little bit of a Drabana also. You have that with Melechas Chalamoi. There's a Nisim Melecha of Chalamoi, the Rishonim disagrees, is it Daraisa or is it Drabana? So what do we assume? Masrana Kasav L'Chacham, that the Gemara itself assumes by Melechas Chalamoi, that the Torah asks Melecha. What exactly is going to be called the malacha of Tircha, and what exactly is that going to be called the malacha that's going to be Aser? That's up to the Chum. The Chum came up with Klalim, Davar Aved, and other Klalim to determine what's called the malacha. The Rush, in the very first Rush in the Sechs Moed Katan, talks about this, the Malachas Cholomoid, that it's up to the Rabbanan to figure out the Gidreya Iser. So the Taz therefore assumes it's Daraisa, and the Chachamim determine the Geder of the Iser. Then he quotes the Trumas Zedash and says that it's all Drabanan, and the Kra Asmachta Bialman. The pasuk that the Gemara quotes is only Asmachta. At the end, he seems to be nota like the Trumas Zedash and that it's Drabanan. He started by saying that maybe everybody really holds it's Daraisa, but then at the end, he says maybe really we hold it's Drabanan. What was the Rashba? The Rashba talks about doing business with fats that are meant to treat leaven, where the Rashba's machmir because it's a concern, Shema Yavalecho Mehem, and the shuman is edible. The shuman that they were using to treat leather is edible, and you have to worry that they might come to eat from it. Whereas Tosos would say that that would be permissible because it's not included in the Yisra Daraisa. That since it's not Ikar La'achila, that's not part of the Yisra Daraisa. Whereas Rashba says it's not about whether it's Ikar La'achila, it's about whether I have to be Choshesh that you might come to eat from it. Pischei Tshuva quotes a machlokas between the Chasam Sofer and the Nedvi Yehuda, where the Chasam Sofer holds Doraisa, and the view of all the Rabbanan. Aruch HaShulchan agrees that it's Rabbanan, agrees to Nadvi Yehuda. So Nafkamina would be, major Nafkamina, can you buy stocks in Macholos Asuras? Right? Buying a stock is Schara. You're doing business. You're buying a chelik in the company when you buy a stock. So if it's a Gzeira Shema Yavalechol, you have to worry about buying stocks. If you walk into a McDonald's with your stock certificates, in the company, and you say Big Mac please, and they say 99 cents, you know, and free drink with that, so you say no, I don't want to pay 99 cents, I own this company, right? No matter how many stock certificates you have, I mean, there is a certain amount that you probably can walk in and just take over the place, but like you may own more than 99 cents worth of the company, you don't have the rights to the food of the company, you don't have any access to the food of the company. It's not even shy if they have access to the food of the company. So if it's a gzeirah shem yavalach, if you don't even have any connection to the food, then it could be that there's no such gzeirah in place. Whereas if this is d'oraisa, so you're doing schara. Pesukei Tshuva brings an afkamina with people who do business with items that they never see, which is exactly this case. Right? There are some people that are just middlemen. They do the paperwork, the arrangements for the imports and the exports, and they're sitting in an office all day. And they've never seen, they deal in what do they call it, pig bellies, what do they call it, pork bellies, right? That's what they deal in. They've never seen a pig. They've never seen an actual, they see a nice office in Manhattan. That's all they ever see. But that's what they're doing all day. That's what they're actually selling. So if it's a gezeira, we know that it was not a low plug, because it doesn't apply to things that aren't meant to be eaten, so it's clearly not a low plug, so it would be mutter. There's no reason for a gezeira. But if it's din d'oraisa, then there are no exceptions. It's just because you're not going to come to eat from it. There's another heter for stocks also. Right? I mean, that's not the only heter you have for stocks. It's just that, now for me, there's a Chubas Marashad. Marashad lived between World War I and World War II, and he says that stocks, it really isn't owning a business. It's a gambling arrangement. You know, you're gambling on the value of the company. But you don't really own the business in any real way. And the prices of a stock don't fluctuate based solely on the value of the company. It has a lot to do with other factors. It has a lot to do with fear in the market, with the general economy, and whether people are running to buy stocks or sell stocks in general could impact a given stock. So based on that, maybe there's... maybe there's other reasons we make when it comes to stocks.
Wouldn't that understanding of stocks hold a lot of problems in other areas?
Yes. Meaning if you really follow that through to the end, you could have a problem that you're a gambler, right? Why isn't it the stock of Kobe? So unless you say, no, it's a business arrangement, but it's not an ownership arrangement. But the second half of the Taz is why this Taz is famous, right? The second half of the Taz is the Taz HaYadua. So the Taz writes that the Chum are not allowed to create Nisid Rabbanan on a Heter Mufurish Bekrat. That if something is explicitly mutter in the Pasuk, then there's a limitation on what the Rabbanan are allowed to impose. This appears in Aruch Chaim and Hilchos Shofar with regards to Bris Milah on Shabbos. I think it's Tavkuf Samaches in Aruch Chaim, that Bris Milah on Shabbos is mutter. So the Taz raises the question, I don't understand. We don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Why? Because you might carry the shofar. Are you going to go etzel baki lilmun? We don't read Megillah on Shabbos. We don't take lulav on Shabbos. All these things are a gzeira that you're going to have to carry something. You carry it outside of Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we make the same gzeira? Don't do mila on Shabbos. You might carry the baby or the knife or whatever needs to be carried to the mila. You're going to carry that on Shabbos as well. So the Taz says, yeah, because the pasuk says "Biyom Hashmini Yimol Basar Alasun." Biyom Hashmini means Afilu B'Shabbos, so it's a Mefarish pasuk that you do Bris Mila on Shabbos, and therefore the Chachamim don't have the right to make a gzeira against that which is Mefarish Bekra. And it appears in the third place in Shulchan Aruch, somewhere in Choshen Mishpat. This Taz is quoted in the Psicha Kolalas of the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim in the Psicha Kolalas tries to emphasize that there are multiple levels of dinim d'oraisa, multiple levels of dinim d'rabbanan. We often think of everything in just two categories: there's d'oraisas and d'rabbanan. So it says Prima Gadim, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So it's d'oraisa, but is that as strong as that which you derive from the yigum mitzvatar d'rashbed? No, it's not as strong. Is that which is derived from yigum mitzvatar d'rashbed as strong as that which is mefurish b'krat? No, it's not as strong. But you can only say it's not as strong as if you have enough gemina. So what's the nafkamina between that which is mefurish b'kra and that which is derived from midrash hatorah d'rashban? That which is derived from midrash hatorah d'rashban is open to exerit rabbanan telling you not to do it. But that which is derived, that which is mefurish b'kra, the rabbanan are not authorized to play with that. The rabbanan are not authorized to negotiate on that which is mefurish b'kra. Rav David Cohen wrote a sefer. Rav David Cohen from Brooklyn. Ooh, we should go to him. Rav David Cohen from Brooklyn wrote a sefer called Hataz HaYadua. He keeps, his son told me once, his son called me once, I don't remember why his son called me, during COVID, I remember I was outside in my back, I remember where I was when I spoke to him, I don't remember what the conversation was about, but he told me that his father keeps lists, and when the list gets long enough, he makes a sefer out of it, he was trying to come up over years, as through his learning, of examples of the Taz HaYadua. Of examples where the Rabbanan don't make a gezeira because it would go against that which is mefurish b'krat, or examples that are counter examples that prove that the Taz HaYadua is incorrect. So he kept the lists, and eventually the list got big enough, so he made a sefer out of it. And I think he reprinted with more and more examples, because he didn't stop the list just because he published the sefer, because you can always add more to it. So there are two possible makoros in Rishonim for it. Rav Moshe in a tshuva says that this Taz Yadua predates the Taz. It appears in the Kesem Mishnah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that a melech is lo don v'lo don in osa. And the Gemara says that that's because of the Maisa B'yamei HaMelech, where he lost a court case and he took it out on all the judges. So we don't want kings to have to, if the king loses a court case, it's going to get ugly. So melech is lo don v'lo don in osa. But then it says, chutz mimalchus face David, because of a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So Kesem Mishnah says, wait, why is there a din that a melech is lo dan v'lo dan no so? Because of the ma'aseh shahayu with who? With Yanai HaMelech. That was after the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, So a pasuk in Yirmiyahu is going to come uproot a din that only came into being because of Yanai HaMelech? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu came before Yanai HaMelech. So the Kesem Mishnah explains that the pasuk is megale that the Rabbanim are simply not authorized to forbid it. Because it's Mefurish B'kra. Oh, you have Mefurish B'kra, then a melech is done. Okay, so then the Rabbanim can say the type of melech that the Pasuk is talking about can be done. But if you have another kind of melech, then it's open to make a gzeirah because of a ma'isa with the Yanei HaMelech. There's a Tos in Kiddushin Daf Yud Ches about a mashkon. The Gemara says that a balchov is called a mashkon. It's a type of piron, right? A mashkon is viewed as a piron achov. It's just that it's an unusual type of piron achov. It's a piron achov where I don't owe the money anymore because I paid the mashkon, but on demand I can get the mashkon back and replace it for the money. So it's like a payment with a condition. Like I'm paying, I'll condition that I don't actually pay. Meaning that I don't actually pay otherwise. That's a balchov kona mashkon. So the Gemara says, you see that from the fact that the Torah says that you can give a bracha to the person. And if it were a loan, it were not something that you own, you're not allowed to give a bracha for a loan, because it's ribis dvar. If it's someone's lending you something, right, there's a big shaila whether you're allowed to say thank you when someone lends you money. Who is that ma'isa with that the person borrowed money from, maybe it was from the altar, it sounds like the altar, right? From the altar of Slobodka, someone borrowed money to be able to travel home. And then when he came back, he paid the altar back and he said thank you. And the altar yelled at him. You can't say thank you, it's ribis dvar. So the next time he needed to borrow money to go home again, and he went home and he came back. It was a chashva tamachal. Anyone know the story? You guys know this? So he came back and he gave the altar the money. He didn't say thank you. And the altar says, you don't say thank you? And he said, what do you want from me? He said, you should want to say thank you, but the halacha says that you can't say thank you. You seem too comfortable not saying thank you. So, okay. So there is such a concept called ribis dvar. So the Gemara asks, how can the almana give a bracha? It's ribis dvar, right? The almana is the case where the clothing, the begad almana is the mashkon, right? So Tosus asks that ribis dvarim only came later. Tosus, what are you talking about? Ribis dvarim isn't this a drabana? That came later. This is talking about dinim in the Torah. So what are you talking about? And Tosus says, no, it's mefurish b'kra, so it can't be included in the use of ribis dvarim. So it's Megala that the Rabbanan didn't have the rights to do it. So you see, in Rishonim already, the Taz HaYadua didn't start with the Taz.
It applies to Yirmiyahu.
So apparently, right, apparently from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, apparently, if Ramesh seems to assume that, right, based on that Kesem Mishnah. Now, which is a Chiddush also, because you would think that which is derived from the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas, then from the Torah, would be more powerful than that which is Midivrei Kabbalah. Right, in the Prima Gadim's Psycho Kalalas, it is. Dinami Divrei Kabbalah are on a lower level than that which is from Midrash HaTorah and Drashas. So it is a Chiddush. Question is how Chazal can forbid Yichud Pnuya. You have a Pasuk that Amnon and Tamar were alone together. So if it applies to Pesukim Menach, right, so I understand that's where the Yisr of Yichud Pnuya came from, right, because of that Maisa, but they were allowed to be alone together. So it could be that you could bring a pasuk of Nach, but not a pasuk about a ma'aseh shahayah. Right? Meaning, when the Gemara in Sanhedrin wanted to bring a right, why doesn't it just bring the Shlomo Melech sat in judgment all day? Melech lo dan v'lo dan no so, Shlomo Melech used to judge all day. That's what he did. It's a nice shaya. It's not describing a halach. It's describing what happened. Another kasha is Takanas Ezra, right? That Levim don't get Maaser Rishon. It's a pasuk that Levim get Maaser Rishon. So Ezra was so upset that no one came back after Golas Bavel, and the whole Eretz Yisrael is empty. The only people that came back were the losers. Right? The only people that came back were people that had nothing going on for them in Bavel anyway. They were having no success, and they couldn't afford tuitions and anything else. So they figured, okay, might as well go to Eretz Yisrael. But the people who were successful couldn't tear themselves away. So the Levim were successful, didn't come back. None of the Levim came back. So you made a Gzeira. They don't get my Sereshon. How do you make a Gzeira like that? It's Mufurish Bakra. So there is a Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos, what exactly the Gzeira was. Right? Whether it's that the Levim are no longer entitled to my Sereshon, or that the Levim no longer have exclusive rights to my Sereshon. Right? It could be that the Gzeira was that now you can give it to Kohanim as well. If you hold that Levim can't get it, then it's a kasha. How can you make such a din draban against what the Torah says? So Minchas Chinuch says it's a raya that my Sereshin Bezmanazeh is only drabana, since we don't have Rav Yoshua Aleha. So it's a raya that it's only drabana. Because during Bayi Sheni, they didn't have Rav Yoshua Aleha either. Bezmanazeh would be the same status as Bayi Sheni. People were very nervous. I was just sitting on Friday when we were sitting with Rav Shechter. One of the Rabbanim was asking Rav Shechter, are we going to have to worry about Shemitah D'Oraisa now because of Rav Yoshua Aleha? I mean, we're getting there, Rav Yoshua Aleha and Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is no, because you need Eretz Yisrael to be Neschalik L'Shvatim also. Every Shevet needs to recognize what Shevet they're from and recognize their Chelek in Eretz Yisrael in order for Shemitah and Yovel to be for Yovel to be knowing again and for Shemitah to become D'Oraisa again. He says there's a raya that Maaser Rishon Bezmanazeh is drabanan. Another kasha they raise on this, there's a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer in the Likutim in Chelek Vav Siman Nun Beis. He asks, how can Chazal make a cherim against taking two wives? The pasuk says, Ki siyen al ish shtei nashim. So how can you make a gzeira that you're not allowed to take two wives?
The same answer as before. It's describing deeper kahuna.
Oh, so you could say that it's talking about ma'isa shaya, like a hechi timtza, about to set up a halacha about giving a bechor pishnayim and how you have to give the bechor regardless. Bechor is a more pashut answer. Who says that Kisei and Shtei Nashim is simultaneous? I mean, the whole point is that you're not allowed to, you liked one wife better than the other. You know which wife you probably like better than the other? The second one you probably like better. The first one is the one you divorced, right? So the second one you probably like better. So even though the first one is the Bechar, the child from the first one is the Bechar, and that child doesn't talk to you because his mother poisoned his mind or whatever, normally gets said in a divorce, right? So that's what the Torah is setting up. So you don't want to give that child Pishnayim? No, you got to give the child Pishnayim. The Torah does say that a king can have multiple wives. Just lo yarbel anashim, right? Clearly telling you that he can have more than one. So it's mefurish b'krav, he can have more than one. Okay, ken zayin chayim d'rabbeinu Gershom doesn't apply to a king. So if anyone's a king, you have to worry about chayim d'rabbeinu Gershom. Maybe. I don't know. Pasakum is another example. Chazal asked Pasakum, and when it came to the Torah, tells us that al dvar shelo kibum laskan b'lechem u'b'mayim, that we're so upset that they didn't bring us lechem u'mayim. What are we so upset about? We couldn't eat it anyway. Pasakum, right? No, elamai, you could eat it, and it's mefurish b'kra that you could eat it because we're upset about it. So it could be that. It's not that we're upset that we didn't have what to eat. It was just, they're supposed to offer it, and then we're supposed to say no. Like, I remember I have a friend who, when he was in Shiduchim, he was getting close to getting engaged. And maybe some of you can relate to this, maybe some of you can't. There is a... often when someone's in dating, I'm going to be careful. Often when someone's dating for a while, so it's progressing, you're head over heels, you're so excited, and then like right before you get engaged, sfeikos, lots of sfeikos, all of a sudden, like, oh no, do I really like this person? Do I really want to spend the rest of my life with this person? And then as soon as you get engaged, oh, okay, yeah, I do. So the this chaver of mine told me that he went to his future in-law's house for a Sunday morning brunch. And it was him and his now wife and his in-laws. He said, he came over to my house, he said, I don't think I can go through with this. I said, why not? He said, they bought 4 bagels. I said, so what? You're 4 people. He said, what Jew buys 4 bagels for 4 people? You buy a dozen bagels, you freeze the rest. Who buys 4 bagels for 4 people? Like, he freaked out. Like, you are not being reasonable right now. So they got happily married for many years. May not love the in-laws, but happily married for many, many years. So 4 bagels for 4 people. What did he want? Was he going to eat more than a bagel anyway? He wasn't going to eat more than a bagel, but he wanted them to offer more than a bagel. What if I don't like sesame seeds? What's their backup plan? You know, okay. You know, that was his title. So it could be we were angry with Bnei Amel, not because we were going to eat it. It's not before his Bekor they were going to eat it, but that they lacked the meat, so at least offer it. I'm not sure if that the klal is that it's a mitzvah. I think the klal is that if it's mefurish laheter the krav, even if it's not a mitzvah.
A lot of these things are not mefurish laheter.
Yeah, yeah. It's very hard to understand what we call mefurish. Even the example of mila. Biyom Hashmini. Oh, we darshan biyom afilu b'shabbos. That's not mefurish that it's on Shabbos. I'm not sure how we're magdir what's called mefurish. Like, how much of a diuk do you say, that's not really a diuk, you don't have to be such a lamdan to make that diuk, and therefore it's mefurish. I don't know. Yeah, it bothers me a lot. It's similar to the famous Nitziv, Rav Shachter loves to quote, the Nitziv in Hamik Shela, in Kuf Pei Tes, he discusses mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha, right? So, what about a hechsher mitzvah? Do we say that a hechsher mitzvah is mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha? So the Nitziv has that distinction between Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuvah Bekra and Hechsher Mitzvah Shein Ksuvah Bekra. There's Hechsher Mitzvah that the Torah actually says the Hechsher Mitzvah. Meaning, is there a mitzvah to make tzitzis? The mitzvah is to wear tzitzis. But Kedilim Tasalacha, the Torah tells you about the Hechsher Mitzvah. Right? Is there a mitzvah to build a sukkah? There's a mitzvah to sit in sukkah. But the Torah talks about actually making a sukkah. So if the Torah, dafka, or matzos also, right? People are very makbid to bake their own matzos. You know, nobody's makbid to cut their own shofar off of a ram. Why? Because the Torah doesn't say those words. It doesn't talk about cutting shofar off of a ram, although obviously you're going to have to cut the shofar off of a ram if you're going to want to be able to use that shofar. I'm reminded, did I tell you guys, I was listening to a shofar from Rabbi Reisman once, recently, and he was talking to his Talmid. I don't know who's Talmid Mar. Does anyone know, like, does he have like a large shear or a small shear? I don't know. So he was saying, he asked the Talmid, and he said, are you allowed to write a get on paper? Does it have to be on parchment? So everyone's like, I don't know. They were learning get. It's like half the Masechta is about, you write on an Eved, you write on a tree, you write on this. He's like, obviously it doesn't have to be a parchment. The whole Masechta is about writing on, right, you know, some obvious things. But anyway, so cutting the shofar off of a ram. So no one's makbid to do that. Cutting your esrog off of the tree, no one's makbid to do that. So why are we makbid to do some hechsher mitzvahs and not others? So Netziv says that hechsher mitzvah ksuvah b'kra, mitzvah bo, yosem b'shluchav. When it's not a hechsher mitzvah ksuvah b'kra, it's not a mitzvah yosem b'shluchav. It's only a hechsher mitzvah anyway, so what difference does it make whether it's ksuvah b'kra or not? Elamai, you see the same type of distinction to the Tasa Yadua, that when something is mefurish b'kra, it's taken with more seriousness. It's given more power. The Aruch HaShulchan writes by Shiluach HaKeim, there's no halacha that you have to take the eggs, but the minhag is that you always take the eggs. Why? Because that's what the Torah says, that you take the eggs. So even though it's not really a halacha that you have to do it, you take the eggs. Okay, so now going back to Taza Yidua, how do you run across the Taza Yidua and not say something about the Taza Yidua? So back to our originally scheduled limud. Pesachei Tshuva and Sivkat Na'alev says in the name of the Pri Toer that that you can sell blood, even though blood is aser, given to iskish lemayim, because there's a hekish between blood and mayim, and the Yehuda agrees. I don't know, that's a pretty surprising chiddush, no? Mayim is mutter, blood is aser, right? But you're allowed to do business in blood. I don't know. The Chassam Sofer quotes, says Avraham Menachai, there is a Pesach Chuvah Simchan Bey, just a couple more details over here. Pesach Chuvah Simchan Bey says that l'chadchila you're not allowed to buy peros mitula'im l'mochra novik chavim. Can you be in the fruit business? Let's say you own a fruit store in a non-Jewish neighborhood. You own a bodega here, whatever, one of these fruit stores, a vegetable store. Or you own a company that sells frozen vegetables or, I don't know, fresh vegetables. So you're not going to do b'dikas toloim on all the vegetables that you sell. So is that a violation of scharut machal asurus? The vegetables are kosher. It's just that they're metulaim. They have toloim problems. So Pesach Chuvah says that it's l'chadchila it's asir, according to the Maravid. And then he says, but the prichadash is cholik alav. It's a big chumrah, right? When you're selling the broccoli, are you selling the advertised broccoli with bugs? You're not even having kavanah for the bugs. The bugs are just a tircha. So the chor, it should be mutter. The Taz in Simon Pedalid is mashma that it's mutter. The Taz in Simon Pedalid discusses if you can sell buggy vegetables to Goyim, if they might turn around and sell it to Jews. Sounds like, but if they're not going to turn around and sell it to Jews, then it's not a problem selling it to Goyim. It's not going to be necessary schor. So pashtus has got to be mutter. Yeah.
Even if it was to Jews, it shouldn't be a problem.
If you could trust that they'll clean it, but if you think that the Jews aren't going to clean it, then the chara could be a problem.
Only, I mean, even if you assume that it's not a xera, there are no. If it's not a chash chafila,
no, meaning it wouldn't be an isra chara, right? Even the Jews wouldn't be an isra chara, but it would be an isra defneiva. By the guy, it wouldn't be defneiva. But the shayla of schara with machalos asuros. That's what some people are not happy that you know, some of these lettuce bags that they sell in kosher supermarkets, they have Hebrew writing on them. They have a sticker with Hebrew writing, and if you look at the Hebrew writing, it says kosher but not badak mitalay. Shkoyach. Lettuce is kosher. Some rabbi took money to put a sticker on it that says that. You still need to check this, because I didn't. It's unbelievable. In Hebrew. So make sure no one translates in very tiny letters in Hebrew. You know, kosher in big letters, very tiny letters in Hebrew, except for the bugs that are in here. You know, like, mind blowing. So some rabbanim are not so happy that they sell those things in kosher supermarkets, because it could be lifnei iver if people aren't gonna check them properly. There is also Yad Ephraim over here, which is fascinating. You look in the Yad Ephraim. In the first Yad Ephraim, Ein Berheted, Ubishut Gimuvav, Ginas Varadim, Chelik Yardaya Kalav Simudalit, Daito, Dimumya. What's a mumya? I'll tell you. Vuhu Basar Mace Adam, Shechontanoso Besamim, Umisrapinbo. What's a mumya? A mummy. So can you do business in mummies? You're an art dealer, or I don't know, history, whatever. You're a museum, whatever. So can you provide, be the one that arranges for the shipping of the mummies from from one museum to the other, or something like that? So he writes, Asu b'achilu uschora, Dulokar advazmari kashim atirin mishenifsim meachilus kelev afro bialmahu. Not like those who say that it's nifsim meachilus kelev and therefore it's afro bialma. Vukasalasa mishum shenena mi basar meis. Vaav shahu shalo kidarechana also. Kidisa pesanet gabi kibra derav. Vav lishay meisi of the kchavim das harbi poskim shayin lechalek. So dead bodies. You're not allowed to get hanafa. Ginas Vadim says that it's us. Now there's a machlokas in Hilchas Avelus, machlokas Rishonim, and machlokas Machaber in the Grala Halacha, whether a non-Jewish dead body is Asur Ba'anah. A Jewish dead body is definitely Asur Ba'anah. But is there an Isra Anah, a non-Jewish dead body? Forget about the Yisus Chora, which he's suggesting, but is there an Isra Anah? one of the rayas, once we're on the Navi kick, David was Mekadesh B'mea Erlos Plishtim. So if non-Jewish bodies are also about no, you can't be Mekadesh B'Yisurayah, no. You can't be Mekadesh Mishu B'Yisurayah, no. So, right, these are Meisei Akum. So our Meisei Akum also about no. So what's the answer? What? Yeah, David was a warrior. He gave him the Mila first and then killed him. Anyone can kill him first and then do the Mila. He did the Mila first and then killed him, so it wasn't for Mason. Okay. So this is relevant in halacha when it comes to medical students, whether Mason or Asubana. Medical students practice on cadavers. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that the Tzorach were samech on the grad that may say Akum or Mutavana. And that comes up with surgeries that have cadaver bones, that they implant inside of a person. You're given the option, a metal rod or a human bone. And sometimes metal bone, human bone, you would think is better because it's more natural, it might take to the body. Reverend Reisman had a mice like that also. It's coming up a lot today. He had a mice like that. I was reminded of it when he was running upstairs to find the base medrash for us to daven milcha in. He can't run upstairs. He has major problems with his leg. He was like limping up the stairs. He had some massive leg surgery, and he had to get, so he was given the choice of a metal rod or a human bone. And he asked Rav Palm what to do, and Rav Palm said, whatever's medically better, that you're allowed to use human bone, that's mutter. So they had a human bone implanted in him, and it didn't take, and then he had to get a metal rod implanted a year later. Now, another application, I had a shayla once, a Talmud of mine, and this again, this is about Hana, it's not really Schora. A Talmud of mine wanted to apply to medical school, and when you apply to medical school, it's very competitive, as you probably know. So he wanted to get a leg up on the competition. So he wanted something that was going to like stand out on his resume. So he decided, they used to have something by South Street Seaport called the Bodies Exhibit. I don't think they have it anymore. It's a major ethical, problem. What they did is they took like Chinese war prisoners or something, they skinned them and then they like put them in all, they preserved them in some way. And they put them in all sorts of poses. They had like one guy doing the Heisman pose and they had like, someone sitting by, dead bodies. Half skinned, fully skinned, and it was a museum. You come and say, oh, look at that dead man playing football. Isn't that cute? So it was like an exhibit. So he wanted to become a docent at the bodies exhibit. So in order to answer the shayla, I first had to say, what's a docent and what's the bodies exhibit? So a docent is the guy that works in the museum, right? You all probably knew that. I didn't. So this relates to whether Mare is in Isra Hadar, to see something is in Isra Hadar. So Rabbi Bleich, who I saw in Yeshiva 2 days ago, or yesterday, 3 days ago. I saw in Yeshiva this week. I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. So Rabbi Bleich has returned. So he wrote an essay on this topic. It's in one of the contemporary halachic problems. And he points out that mitzvah's kavura only applies to Jewish bodies, but it's a machlokas, whether there's a nisr of nivula mace in non-Jewish bodies. Rameir Shapiro points that the, or Rabbi Bleich quotes Rameir Shapiro in the Tshuva, points to machlokas Rashi and Ramban. The Medrash gives a mashal of two twins. One becomes king, the other becomes a liston. The king doesn't want the robber's body on the tree because people will think that the king is on the tree. So too, you can't hang a body that's Betzalem Elokim on the tree. So Rashi, in that context, uses the term Yisrael. That when there's a Jewish body on the tree, that's like the king's twin that's hanging on the tree. Tos Yomtov assumes that Betzalem Elokim relates to non-Jews also. Everyone's Betzalem Elokim. That's not only Yisrael. Adam Rishon was the first one that was B'Tzelem Elokim. He wasn't Jewish. But the machlokas is to what extent Tzelem Elokim generates the Yisra of Nivla Meis. So if you're getting paid to be a docent at the exhibit, then that's probably Hanam in Ameis. The Shaila is really about looking, right? If you're just looking, is that called Hanam? So that's a fascinating topic. Kol Mar V'Reach Yemim Shalilu P'sach Daf Chavah, right? What? Did he get into school? He's a doctor today. He's, Baruch Hashem. I think he finished his residency and his fellowship already. This was years ago. Yeah, good guy. What kind of doctor is he? I don't remember what kind of doctor he is, but he's a doctor. It all worked out. I don't think he became a docent. I mean, someone who thinks like that, you know, probably has a good chance of succeeding anyhow. Like, you got to think just outside of the box of that. Okay. Now, there are a number of kulas that are kedai to go through. Do we have time? Maybe I'll try to prioritize. Let's go to the nizdamimah first, because that's the most common of the kulas. So the Mechaber goes on to say that v'im nizdam v'letzayid chayev of dagim tamein, you're trapping fish. You put out a net, and some non-kosher fish come into the mutu l'machum. You're allowed to sell them. Obavad shlo yiskavim l'kach. Kei mishan zamlo nevelu trefa pebesa. And the Rama writes, if you have a nevela trefa, you weren't looking for a nevela trefa, you ended up with a nevela trefa in your house, so we could be makel on that net as well, the Rama says. So the Shach in Sifkat and Hay says that also if you get a Yerusha, that's called Nizdam Nila. So if my friend inherits their parents, steakhouse, that's Nizdam Nila. Can they continue to sell more steaks? They should probably sell the steakhouse as soon as they can, right? Sell the business.
Is it Nizdam Nila if that's the only Yerusha, or if there's you could choose to get one or two things? Is it still Nizdam
Nila? If you have the ability to, right, but if you're, let's say, if this is Nafal B'Yerusha, so you're the only child. If you have a way to negotiate out of it, probably you should do that. The Shach and Sifkan Vav says if somebody goes fishing for pleasure, then there's no heter of Nizdam Nila. What do you need to go fishing for? Just like to kill fish. So there are a few important shuvas and discussions in Poskim relating to Nizdam Nila. Now the Biyuta discusses people who trap rabbits for the fur, but then after they use the fur, they're left with the meat. And apparently rabbit meat is a commodity that people are willing to pay for. I don't know. I don't know if you ever go to a trade supermarket, you ever see in the display case, rabbit meat? Yeah. Is it Elmer Fudd? Yeah. Whatever? But apparently it's a commodity, or at least in Nadavida Samuel. So in Piskei Teshuvah, Sifkan Vav, he quotes as Nadavida. The Taz of Yom Sifkan Dal says that he was asked about large wild animals, that they buy the skins specifically from non-shechted animals, meaning they had these animals, they didn't want shechted animals because they wanted the skins, and when you cut the neck skin, that's no good. They want the neck skin is very good skin, they want that to be intact, so they want the animal to be shot in the head so that they can then take the skin from the neck and use it. So they only wanted basar nechira because the skins were most valuable that way, and the Taz says that you could be makel. So the Shach in Sifkat and Ches says that it's asr because you're mechavi melachto b'davari isr. So Nadbuda writes that kol davar sheinu mufurish b'torah amrinan hanach lam nisrael nutav shishogim lo yimazidin. He says, look, this whole thing, even if it isn't d'oraisa, it's not mufurish b'kra. And that's another difference between that which is mufurish b'kra and that which is not. That when something is not mufurish b'kra, you say nutav shishogim lo yimazidin, hanach lam nisrael, let them be shogi rather than mazid. That came up recently in a shaila rabbi from Philadelphia. Told me that he had a shayla of a guy who became a Baal Tshuva, and then he discovered he was a Levi, Baal Tshuva, and then he discovered that his mother was adopted, which means his mother was not Jewish, which means he was not Jewish, which means he was not a Levi, which means his children are not Levim. And then in the course of the conversation with the rabbi, they had to figure out whether they need avchana before he remarries his wife. You know, now as a Jew, they did a gevus, and now he's going to marry his wife of 30 years, and they have children, adult children already, who thought they were levim all this time. So now he has to do pidyon haben for his old, and the oldest son has to do pidyon haben. It was a whole mess. So when they were discussing whether they need avchana to wait 3 months where they're apart from each other before they get remarried, to the maftim bein zera kodesh. So the rabbi said that don't worry about Havchana because of Shechter Paskin, that since she's postmenopause and she's on birth control, it's fine. I told you this myself. So the guy said, I wouldn't worry anyway because we'd have bigger problems if my wife got pregnant since I had a vasectomy years ago. So the rabbi freaked out. A vasectomy, that means he's a patua daka. A Petzua Daka is an Issa Lava Bakal. It means he's not allowed to marry his wife. So now what do you do? They've been married for 30 years. He just went through a gavus. And you tell him, oh, by the way, you can't marry your wife. So he's not going to listen. He's not going to leave his wife at this point. So one of the cheshbonos the rabbi had was, you say, mutav shishogun vali mezidin. Problem is, this is daraisa. Is it mefurish b'kra enough? It's pretty mefurish b'kra. But you have a b'kal Hashem. So is it a din being mefurish b'kra? The mutav shishogun vali mezidin? It's probably not a din of being mefurish b'kra. It's a din of what people know. That which is mefurish b'kra, people know. So you can't assume that the guy's being shogeg. He's probably mazed. But if it's the kind of thing that people don't know, he doesn't think of himself as a patua daka. He thinks of himself as someone who had a vasectomy, like 30% of the males in this country above the age of whatever, which is, by the way, that's the number. It's crazy how many people. It's like insane. Which you have to be careful about in medical school, because you're not allowed to perform these procedures when you're on, you know. So he doesn't think of himself. So maybe you can say mutav shishogin. So the rabbi went to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. He asked Rav Shechter, Rav Asher Weiss, and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky all said the same thing. But his conversation with Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky was a bit of a funny conversation. He told Rav Shmuel the problem, because he's in Philadelphia, so he asked this Rav Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel said, "So new rabbi, what are you going to do?" That's exactly what Rav Shmuel would say. So he said, "I'm going to cry." So Rav Shmuel said, "Okay, good. And when you finish crying, what are you going to do next?" So he said, I don't know. I think Mutav Shishogin. He's not going to. So Shmuel said, it should be with Atzlacha. That was the closest he was going to get to a psak.
How do you, what, from people know, or what this guy
knows? Right. Yeah.
This guy clearly didn't know.
He obviously doesn't know. He didn't know not to say it, right? So he obviously didn't know. It was a mess. They're now married. The rabbi was with Sabi Kedushin. They got married. So that's one svara the Taz says. Then the Taz goes on to say an interesting svara. He says, if the business is a profitable business with just the fur, if you were to throw out the meat, it would still be profitable. Then you could argue that that's called nizdami, because you're not having kavana for the meat. You'd go into the business anyway, even without the meat. But if you need to sell the meat in order to make the business a viable business, then that's not nizdami. Then that's actual scharu with machal asu. So that's an important distinction. There's another important ha'ara. If, let's say, you own non-kosher supermarkets, or you own non-kosher food, and you know there are people that supply food to nursing homes. There are companies that supply food to nursing homes. So most of the food that you give them could probably be kosher, but there's, you know, they order what they order, and they're non-Jewish nursing homes, and you know you have to. So is that called that you're doing schar with machal asurus? Pashal says yes. If you only serve them kosher food, you're not going to make any money. So the Aruch HaShulchan Sivkat, because no one's going to buy. You're not going to have customers, even if you're going to have the proper markup. You're not going to have customers if you advertise that we're kosher only. You have to offer the whole array of products. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's called Nizdamein because your Iker Kavanah is to sell kosher, but in order to run your business, you also need to have some non-kosher. Well, meaning similar to the Taz, that when your Iker Kavanah is for the fur, Elamai, you know, but this is stronger, there's even more. The Taz is saying if the business would be viable without the meat. Now we're saying the Aruch HaShulchan says even if the business would not be viable unless you offer this product. So people are, you know, are make it like this. Rav Moshe in Yerodeichel Beis Im Lamaches says that you're not allowed to keep non-kosher food in your store in stock. But if somebody calls with an order and the order includes non-kosher, this is also, by the way, related to Uber Eats, right? Whether you could be a driver for Uber Eats. Is that called Scharu of Machalos Asuras? The Pashtus is it's not really, because you're delivering, like Rav Shach said, you're delivering the soda and the paper goods also, and you know other things along with it. It's not, I mean, whatever they ordered happened to also be non-kosher. There's one last shot I just wanted to get to, I think I mentioned before briefly, and that is a broker who never takes possession of anything. So according to Rashba, that Shami Yochel Menasa would be okay, because there's no there's no concern. But if it's an Isra Schora, it just is, so then it would be a problem. So some sofers make the Shas of Chak. So, you know, I once had, we were flying back from Florida, and on Delta, and we were waiting in the airport for like hours and hours and hours. The plane finally arrived, and then they said, oh, there's a problem with the plane. And like, we literally could have driven back from Florida in probably, not literally. Okay, we could have driven halfway back from Florida in the amount of time that we spent in the airport. So they decided after a long, long time, after the kids finished all the coloring books and everything else, that they were going to give vouchers for food in the airport. So there's tray for places in the airport. So I'm not, what am I going to do with the McDonald's voucher? So am I allowed to sell the voucher to somebody else? Is that schar of my fellow sisters? So according to the Rashi, I'm not handling the food. So Gzeira, I'm going to come to eat from it. I have a piece of paper. I don't have food. But that piece of paper represents food. But Pashas is much better, because unless the voucher says a Big Mac, right, it's just money. It's like you get $5 to spend at McDonald's, right, to buy sodas. So people can buy sodas anyway.
Yeah, why is segregation coming into play?
What do you mean?
You set up the net. What if I know that the fish... I'm intending, as long as your intent is for the kosher fish...
No, but there's no issue of trapping a non-kosher fish. The question is, once I have it...
But you know you were going to... And segregation alone is this nasik miskaven, so...
Yeah, but not on the Drabanan, meaning not on this Isser Drabanan. Meaning this Isser Drabanan, assuming this is an Isser Drabanan, is a Gezeira, it's not, right? And the Isser is not on the trapping, it's on the next step. So they never made an Isser when that wasn't really your intention, even by, I don't think we felt the government situation. Yeah, question? All right. Good. Is it? Oh, okay, it's fine. All right, there's a little more to say, but not that much more, so okay, we'll stop here. And for next week, I don't know, stay tuned for the WhatsApp. I'm not going to give Shir Sunday. I'm giving Kol Yom Rish on Sunday morning. If anyone's interested. Talking about Zemiros and Shabbos. Because my editor just sent that piece back to me for the next paper. We got 21 out of 30 our essays edited so far. So it looks like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe sometime when we're learning.